A few weeks ago, we were talking about Bible interpretation and how to interpret the Bible accurately. And we got several steps through that. We went through, first of all, we talked about using our common sense in our Bible interpretation. I've truly believed for many years that truth is often the easiest position to defend, because it's the one that's supported by the facts. It's the easiest position to defend. And a person once said that truth is the position of least assumptions. So if you're always having to make a lot of assumptions to arrive at something, that is a signal, a red flag there of warning. So anyway, we talked about common sense. We must never take a leave of absence of it in our Bible interpretation. We're trying to understand the Bible. The next thing we noticed was don't forget about the context. And we noticed an example from both the Old and New Testaments alike about that. I'd like to throw in another example that's common in the Christian religious world today. This is out of Romans 6, verse 14. The context of Romans is the following. Now, if you forget the context, you could be in big trouble, and you almost certainly will if you grow up in certain denominations. But the author of Romans was the Apostle Paul. Who was Paul? He was an expert attorney of the law of Moses, who sat at the feet of Gamaliel. And a major theme of Romans, for the Jews to understand, the Jewish people, Paul was a Jew, he was an expert attorney of the law of Moses, and he was writing about this, the fact that the Jews, according to the law of Moses and the prophets of the law of Moses, to understand that their own law of Moses foretold of the inclusion of the Gentiles in the plan of salvation, in God's plan of salvation. So we can never lose sight of that theme, that context in Romans, that this was talking very frequently about the law of the Jews and foretelling about the inclusion of the Gentiles in the gospel plan of salvation. Now, the Greek word for law is nomos, and it is used an incredible 50 times in the book of Romans alone. And that is out of 194 times in the New Testament. So more than a quarter of the time the word nomos is used, the word law is used, it's used in the book of Romans. And obviously, the vast majority of the time, unless it's otherwise indicated, it's talking about the law of Moses, which was the law of the Jews. He's talking to Jews primarily a lot of the time, and he's talking about their law. Now you say, Rick, why are you talking about this? I think we all get the point. Well, I'm talking about this because of how it is so profoundly abused, that context is from the book of Romans. But let's go to Romans 6, verse 14. I want to illustrate how that they twist the scriptures by misunderstanding the context. In Romans 6, verse 14, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Now, in the Greek, the word law does not have the article in front of it. It doesn't say you're not under the law, and that's regrettable that really they didn't add that article here in this verse. In the English, the proper translation, I believe, would be you're not under the law, but under grace. Now, in the Greek, the article is about 50% of the time, but half the time, articles are not used in front of their nouns. So that is a common usage of Greek. Once a context is established, the article is dropped because of redundancy. So in other words, a man wearing a red coat walked into the grocery store, and then you say, the man went to aisle 2 and bought this. And then in the Greek, it could drop the article from there on out and say, man went to aisle 4, man went to aisle 6. So it drops the article once the context is established. Well, people will abuse 6 verse 14 And they will assume that because the article isn't there, therefore it's talking about all laws. You see what I'm saying? Not just the law of Moses, but all laws. We're not under law. So this fits beautifully into the Calvinistic doctrine, which suggests that works don't matter. The Calvinistic doctrine is best summarized, probably, in my opinion, out of Ephesians 2, verse 8. There it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast." So they go to this passage in Ephesians 2, and they say, it says it's not of works. Works don't matter to God, just our faith. Only faith matters. And then they'll go to verses like Romans 6:14, and they'll say, look, it says right here, we're not under law, but under grace. Law is a system of expectation. You have to obey things, you know. But you're not under law, but under grace. Well, we are under law in the first place. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 20 and 21, it talks about how that to the Jew I became a Jew to gain the Jew and so forth. But he says, Paul goes on to say there that, you know, we are under law to God and to Christ. We are under law. The Christian is under law to God and to Christ. So you see how very deceptive this doctrine can be, because people can argue that the Word of God is not a law. It's not law. And we don't need to worry about specifically obeying things in the New Testament. And I spoke to one person a while back who believed in this doctrine. And we got to talking, but he said he was very frustrated at people in his church because he was having a hard time convincing them that they needed to come to church. But unfortunately, he believed in faith only, so why would a person feel the compulsion to come to church? We know Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Do not forsake. That's a commandment. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as men or some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So it's commanded in the Bible, but it's a work. Just like baptism is a work and other things. And works, these types of things are good things to do, but not necessary for salvation, okay? So that is their approach. And they use Romans verses like Romans 6:14, where it says, you're not under law, but under grace. Because the article before the word law is dropped, they say it's referring to any law, any kind of law. It could be the Roman law that he's talking about here. We're not under the Roman law, but we're under grace. Or it could be any other law. But that is false teaching, because that is not true. Now, but you may say, well, how can you? You're just assuming, Rick, that the context there is the law of Moses. It makes sort of sense, but really, can that be proved? I want to just hit a couple of verses. Let's start from the very beginning of Romans. The Bible says a few verses here. I'll start with verse chapter 2 in Romans and then try to hit one verse in each, at least one verse in each of the chapters to prove that Paul is establishing context, so when it comes to chapter 6, he doesn't need to use the article because it's been so well established by that time. Romans 2:17, but if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law, obviously it's the law of Moses, you rely on the law and boast in God and know that his will and approve what is excellent because you are instructed from the law. The law of Moses he's talking about. Verse 23, you boast in the law. You who boast on the law dishonor God by breaking the law. Again, the law of Moses. 25, for circumcision is of value if you obey the law. But if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. He is plainly talking about the law of Moses, where circumcision was a component. Verse 26, so if a man who is uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision become regarded as circumcision? He's talking about the Gentiles here, and they became, how the Jews, those who were under the law, were required to keep the law. But those who were not under the law, the Gentiles, they were judged by their consciences that would, convict them if they were doing something wrong. So anyway, It's obvious he's talking about the law of Moses. Let's skip to chapter 3, Romans 3, 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. Again, the law of Moses is plainly being taught by an expert attorney of the law of Moses, the Apostle Paul, speaking to a Jewish audience. If you don't believe he's talking to a Jewish audience, we could skip forward to chapter 7. Or do you not know, brothers, and this is right after chapter 6 where he's talking about the law business. Do you not know, brothers, for I'm speaking to those who know the law. What law? The Roman law? The law of the Romans? No, he's talking about the law of Moses, speaking to a Jewish audience. So the context is well established, both after and before Romans chapter 6. So let's go. Let's take another verse out, this time out of Romans 4. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. He's talking about the law of Moses. If you're not under the law of Moses, you Gentiles aren't. It's not counted as a transgression if you aren't circumcised, for example, and things like that. Because you're under the law of conscience. He established that in chapter 2. Now let's go on to chapter 5, Romans 5. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Again, context, the law of Moses. Now the law came to increase trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded the more. So again, he contrasts the law of Moses to the system of grace that we are under Christ. And then comes chapter 6, verse 14. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you're not under law, but under grace. Again, the article was dropped, but that doesn't mean it shouldn't be implied in the English translation. You're not under the law, but under grace. They were not under the law of Moses, but under grace. But then they will take this and they will say, that proves that works don't matter. We're not under any law of any kind. Okay? But then, of course, the Bible teaches elsewhere, like I said in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 20 and 21, that we are under law to God and to Christ. And then he continues right on through chapter 8, where he says, for the law of the Spirit of life, that's the law of Christ, basically, has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death, which was the attributes of the law of Moses. All right, so that's enough about keeping the context right, but it is really important that we pay attention to the context, because great deviations and even innocently taking the wrong path can easily be done.